Let's just get started. It's the news, according to me. Good morning. It is Thursday, January 22nd, 9:17, almost 9:18 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2026. I'm here because you're there. And I'm here, but I'm not all there. Just saying. I have something my mom used to always say. I'm here, but I'm not all there. It was very true. Unfortunately, near the end there, she had a good attitude about it, but she was, she suffered from some, let's just say, more or less, just the Alzheimer's thing kicked in at the end there, and it was just not an easy, pleasant experience for any of us. However, she maintained a pretty good attitude through most of it. It's just, she had her days, like I have my days, where she's a little bit grumpy. Once in a while, I get grumpy. That's my wife. She probably thinks I'm always grumpy. She doesn't wake up grumpy. She lets him sleep in. Anyway, I just realized I'm actually letting her sleep in this morning. She's, as far as I know, she's still in bed. She's probably awake. Probably going through things on her phone. She typically... And she has a chance. When I'm home, she doesn't have the dog. The dogs get her up pretty early every day while I'm gone. And when I'm home, she... by the way, I'm in the home studio this morning. Here for a couple days, today and tomorrow. I do not have, previously thought I would, I do not have any kind of audio stuff put together. However, I'm working on a system, organizational thing here. It's going to change this podcast. I think it's going to take the quality level up about 10 times what it is. There's going to be a whole lot more, just quality involved. The content is going to improve. Just a whole lot of features about the show that I don't want to get into right now. Because I'm working on developing some things, I've kind of been doing some research on how to make this thing work better. Possibly, hopefully, it might get more popular, which is, it could be a problem. I kind of do this just for my own sanity. I kind of come on here and vent, talk about things, and just have an opportunity to just say what I want to say, and nobody, sasses back about it. Not that I know anybody that would do that. At work, I can't just go jump into politics. I'm stuck kind of with a team of people for a short, few days. Pretty intense work. And it'd be nice to just be able to open up and just start talking about stuff. Like top politics and all the stuff going on in the world. But no, can't do that because of company policy. Now, if I was the company, if I owned the company... I could say whatever I want, which is what I do with my own business. It's my own business here, in my home here. I just do what I want. And I can say what I want, and that's why I have this microphone, so I can talk to all y'all out there in the ethosphere about what I think. It's just an opinion entertainment show. I'm entertaining with my opinions. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm just this guy with a microphone and connected to the entire wild world web. Billions of people. Very small percentage of them listen to this, but that's fine. That's fine. The whole thought of just the idea of me being able to just sit down and just spit it all out, just spew it all out of my mouth. It's just a kind of a get it off my chest kind of thing for my own mental sanity. That's kind of what this is all about. This is more of a mental exercise for me. And I appreciate you being along for the ride. It's the roller coaster ride that it is. I have a few other things I'm working on. I'm looking at, a future of possibly a little less than 2 years, a little bit over a year and a half, having a retirement thing that I'll be doing. I think I'm probably going to be busier in retirement, actually doing things that I want to do. There's those go-go years everybody talks about when as soon as you retire, you start doing all this stuff and you travel and do all the stuff that you do, kind of expensive years. And then you have the slowdown years, and then you have the no-go years where you kind of just are being maintained. Somebody changing your drool cup and your diapers. I'm looking forward to those years. But, I don't know. It's probably going to be kind of busy going into graduate. I always want to call it graduation, into retirement. I'm just kind of looking forward to that now. I actually am. In some ways, I really enjoy what I'm doing. I enjoy the work. I went back to it in 2018 because I wanted to, not because I had to. And it's something I wanted to do. Now, I got to be honest with you. I just had to do an edit. The dogs were barking, and I just had to shut them off. So I lost about 5 minutes of the show right there. And then I went back and started recording again. And then all of a sudden my recording software apparently failed for about 20 minutes. It was a pretty heavy, intense part of the show where I was talking about the church and everything about that, and some personal testimony about what had happened to me with the church and how I felt about some of those kinds of things. And it's very frustrating because I'm not exactly sure what I lost and what I said, what I didn't say. I'm going to go back and listen to the whole show just to find out what I lost. So I'm a little frustrated this morning. I had to go up and stop the dogs and had to restart the program. Had to pause the program. And occasionally, when I have to do that, I hadn't noticed that the recording had stopped. It goes to a flat line. It's, for some reason, it doesn't interact properly with the mixer. It happens on occasion. I would say about 10% of the time, but it's enough that it's very frustrating. So I'm not sure what I said and what I didn't say. So if I do repeat myself from the first part of the show, I do apologize for that. But that's just very frustrating. Anyway, the main thing I want to talk about, and I'm going to talk about it again. That's the problem with just doing kind of a brain dump like this, is that I have a tendency to, now that I've kind of got it off my chest, doesn't bother me anymore. So I'm not sure what I've said. But I'm going to say it again if I didn't say it before. The whole thing with the church and Don Lemon and everything that happened there, I'm not even sure if I told you about what was in my cup or not. I've got chai with coconut green creamer, backup tea, all this stuff. I think I said all that stuff, but I can't remember if I don't know. I'm only 7 minutes into the show here now. I lost 15, 20 minutes of it. Pretty sure I'm not sure if I did or not. I can't remember. I don't know. I lost it. Okay. I'm losing it. Kevin's getting upset. So we have a situation with the church. Let's just get into that. Just jump right into that thing. Probably better if I just did the show later. Just I'm very frustrated. It's days have gone. I've gone now. Anyway. Ever have days like this? I don't know if you've ever had days like this or not, but it's kind of a very frustrating thing. I was just kind of heavily deep into this and talk about what I was talking about some past experiences I've had, and I wasn't even looking at the screen because it was pretty intense. Anyway, let's just put it this way. If I repeat myself, I apologize, but maybe it's worth listening to again. There is a time that these guys that came into the church that in Minnesota, Minneapolis, there was a time back in the 60s and 70s, mostly 70s and 80s probably, is when it really started to kind of happen. There was a lot of churches in the San Francisco area. There was a few churches that got overrun. Their services got overrun by protesters. And it was, unfortunately, it kind of drove some good churches out. Some of the churches that were there, of course, the parishioners just, they come into to a service. They don't want to, you need to go to a place where you feel secure. You're going in there and you're kind of bearing your soul before God is kind of what you're doing. And to have someone come in there and decide they're going to exercise their First Amendment rights by protesting your church service, that's not the way it works. That's not the way First Amendment works. Your amendment rights don't trump someone else's rights to worship, their rights to their religion. You know, that doesn't work that way. Freedom to protest doesn't mean you can just walk in. And I think that this has hopefully, and it won't for some people. This is going to be one of those dividing lines. I think that in our nation right now, this is going to be a catalyst moment, another dividing line moment in our culture. And make no mistake, it's the left that's instigating this stuff. I don't know if these people are believers or not. And all I know is they were invoking the name of Jesus to claim that we're just going in and turning the tables over. That's what we're doing. That's not what they're doing. I don't know anything about these people's personal lives. I don't know anything about it. But there is this one point in Scripture, very, very short little story. Didn't make a whole lot of news. Not a big topic on Sunday mornings when they're preaching, usually in most churches. When the disciples decided that there were some people that were doing something they didn't think was right. Disciples and their righteousness and their fervency and their zeal for God. They asked Jesus, they said, "Shall we call down fire from heaven like Elijah did? Shall we call down fire?" Calling down judgment. Now, I don't believe in a limp-wristed Jesus. I believe he's kind, but he's not always nice, because the truth is not always nice. He's kind about how he shares it. It's all of his speech was seasoned with grace. Whenever someone would confront him, he met them personally where they were. He didn't just shout out some social justice speech, some speck. He wasn't talking at people, he talked to them. When you walk into a church and you just start shouting and demanding that people say their name, say her name! Calling them phony Christians, attacking them for what they're wearing and what they're drinking. Oh, you're drinking your latte. You're dressed all really nice. While your brothers and sisters are suffering in concentration camps and being murdered every day. Which, not, of course, is not happening, but that's a whole other wormhole we're not going to go down. There was this little moment where the disciples asked to call down fire. Jesus said, the Messiah said, "You know not what manner of spirit you are of." Now, that's King James, because that's what I memorized. I grew up with King James. My first Bible was a King James. New Testament Psalms and Proverbs. I was given to me by the Gideons, Gideon Association. Now, I grew up in a Christian church and a Christian family. We had Bibles and stuff like that, but I don't have my own Bible. The first Bible I kind of carried around was that little New Testament Psalms and Proverbs, King James Version Bible, little pocket Bible, and that was the first one I read. I still remember, I was about seven and a half years old. I told my mom, I'm going to read through the whole Bible. I determined I was going to read the Bible. I went off in a little corner down on the, we had a tri-level house. I remember it like it was yesterday. Went down into the sofa and I sat down, I was going to start reading the Bible. I didn't get through the whole thing that day. Got pretty lost with the Bagots. I don't think there's any, not a whole lot of gods in the New Testament. There are some, but they got lost somewhere in there. And I kind of got confused. And of course, I couldn't understand half of it because it was all in Elizabethan language. But I did start reading it. That's just kind of what happened. So I grew up with that. So when I quote it typically off my mind, typically many times, it's usually just King James for some reason. First learn, best learn kind of thing. The point being, his response was, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. There's a sense of condemnation, accusation, talking at people, not to them, that happens from these people. And they invoke Jesus when it's convenient for them. They see themselves as the righteous ones calling out the phony Christians, because for some reason that's their mission and that's their ministry in life. Everything that they're basing their entire passion on is all phony. It's all fake. It's lies. It's not truth. They were not having now, Don Lemon, to his credit, he did try to have a conversation with the pastor. The biggest problem Don Lemon had being there was he knew they were going there, first of all. He knew this whole thing. He got this exclusive going into this church. He was going to do this kind of thing. Because we're on a mission. Because the Marxist social justice gospel that sometimes is in the form of what's called black liberation theology. And make no mistake, the main leader of this group, by the way, was not the guy that was making all the noise in the church. The main leader of this whole thing, behind the whole thing, was that one of the leaders of a BLM chapter. She was the one organizing the whole thing. She was the one who made the decision to go in where they were going into. And Don knew, in my opinion, he knew where they were going. He just didn't say it. He was like, well, I can't disclose where we're going. It's a secret. Nobody knows where they're going until they get there. Well, when you show up at the church, you know where you're going. And you still went in with them. You didn't stay outside. You went inside with them. And you were involved in the discussions on the side of the group that was interfering with their right to practice their religion. Their freedom of religion was being impeded. Because you can't just walk in and say, well, I have First Amendment privilege, so I can walk in here and protest anytime I want because I'm a First Amendment rights. It doesn't work that way. You can't take one right and take away somebody else's right. I have a right to own a gun. I have a right to keep and bear, to own and carry. That's the way it should have been written. Of course, that was the way they used to talk back then. It was to keep and bear, and bearing arms. Are you bearing arms? Yes, I'm bearing arms. Are you carrying arms? Yes, I'm carrying arms. That's the same conversation we would have today. You have the right to keep arms. In other words, own them. You can't keep something you don't own. Well, you can, but that's how people get in prison. The point being, to keep and to bear shall not be infringed, restricted, impeded in any way. It doesn't mean that I can walk into your house and make you carry a gun. You have the right to carry a gun. You're going to carry it. Now, I'm on your property, by the way. If I'm on your private property, you have the right to remove me if I'm carrying a gun if you don't want to be there. In fact, all you have to do is say, I'm asking you to get off my property, and if you continue to stay here, you're going to be trespassed. You're trespassing on the property. They asked him to leave. They didn't leave. They didn't call the cops, and I don't even know if the cops would have shown up if they would have. Their rights were being violated. Make no mistake about that. That's just, I'm not a lawyer, but that's my opinion. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I don't know if I've already said it. I probably did, but say it again, because I don't know if I said it or not. It's disgusting what they did. And I'm hoping that some independents, and I'm sure that many independents and many people in the wishy-washy center, most independents are, by the way, they can, most people who are left-leaning don't even realize they're left-leaning. They've gotten so far away from constitutional, conservative, basic, fundamental principles of the nation, founding principles of the nation, they don't even realize that they're leaning so far left. They're basically leftists. They don't know it. They're not the extreme leftists. We're the kind of the wackadoodles. Now, there's some guys that, you know, what was happening with the border. I even talked to some people that during that time who were, I would say, are definitely left, always vote Democrat. But they're independent. But they always vote Democrat. But they didn't like what was happening at the border under the Biden administration. Well, that's going a little bit, they're going a little bit overboard with that. Yeah, you think? And like I've always said, the end justifies the means with these people. And it's always this meet in the middle. It's meet in the middle. Let's compromise. And then they move the goalposts again, and the middle goes way over there. They keep you progressively moving in a – that's why it's called a progressive party. That's why they're called progressives. They're progressively moving you towards something. And that something are not founding principles. They're moving you away from founding principles. That's what's happening there. And it continues to happen. Now, like I said, I don't believe in a limp-wristed Jesus. I believe he's kind, but I believe he speaks the truth. And the truth sometimes is not nice. And the truth in this case, now, say what you want to say. If I would have been in this church, if I'm in a church building and we're having a service and this starts to happen, I don't care if I'm the pastor or not. They're going to get me in their face. I'm going to be there. And depending on what the leadership wants, if leadership asks them to leave and they're not doing it, I don't know. Somebody's going to get hurt. That's all I'm saying. Not going to be a good situation. I don't care. Say it's, well, that's not Christian. That's not what Jesus would do. Okay, whatever. That's what I'm going to do. All right. You've got children, women, elderly women, people who are, think of your frail grandmother or your mother or your little sister or a baby in that situation. You went into a place called a sanctuary, which is a legal term, by the way. And you start disrupting that service. How do you expect to be treated in that situation? Or you're in that situation, you're there in the sanctuary thinking this is the one place in all the world where all the chaos is going on out there, and I can come in here, be at peace, be in a safe place, and listen to what my pastor has to say. I can sing some songs, I can interact with my God, with my community of fellow believers. And if we want to have a discussion where we disagree, that's fine. We can have that discussion. But there's a time for that, and there's a time for just being at peace and just listening and then having our way and moving forward and being adults and being mature. not coming in there screaming and yelling and causing disruption and accusing people of being phonies and everything else that's going on. That's not the time for that. And yet they think that they have, well, they have the right to protest. The First Amendment rights. It doesn't work that way. And everybody knows it except for these wacko doodle idiots. Of course, now they're going to come after him because he's a black gay man. I'll play some audio about that tomorrow. Some of the comments that have been made about the DOJ's. They're talking big talk now about, oh, we're going to go after him. We're going to press charges. We're going to do some. We'll see. We'll see what you do. Something better happen. Of course, now we're getting Nick Shirley is being called before Congress to talk about some of the fraud he found. It's going to be entered into the congressional record. There are a lot of things in the congressional record, in the representatives, House of Representatives and the Senate, that have been discussed. It's gone into the record. Nothing ever happens with it. Hillary Clinton lying before Congress. Clapper lying before Congress. So many people lying before Congress, or not even just being contempt, not even coming in to talk to Congress. And we just let it go. They don't do that to people who were in the Trump administration. They put them in jail for not coming in, called them in contempt, and just put them in jail. Well, we can't escalate this. We can't just weaponize the justice system. It's already weaponized. And heaven forbid these people should ever get power again. Because they're not just, and now they're coming out and saying it out loud. They're not just after Trump. They're after everybody who ever voted for this guy. They think you all need to go to re-education camps. They are out of control, unhinged, deranged. And the things that they're saying, they're just absolutely blinded by their own rage. And it's rage that's been fomented up by the politicians that are supposedly leaders. They're not leaders. Leaders don't do this. These are people who are trying to hide their own dirty deeds by fomenting chaos. Because if they can keep that pot stirred up, nobody will notice what they're doing. I believe that's exactly what's happening in Minnesota. Keep the pressure off of me by putting the pressure back on ICE. Oh, this will all be fine if they just left. Frey, by the way, Fry, or whatever his guy's name is, the mayor of Minneapolis. If they just left, everything would be fine. We would all be peaceful. We would be fine, but fine again. Well, we've arrested like 80 people. Then why are those places still open for business? Why did Nick Shirley go around a dozen of them? They're still in business, and he's just scratching the surface. There's so much more there than what he even could do in a day or two that he was there. Because the daycare was one thing. There's so much more than that. It was a There's the autism center. There's the feeding thing that they did. That was Ilhan Omar was a big part of that. This goes right to the top of the leadership there, the political leadership. They better find it. That's all I can say. Because this is the kind of stuff that we can't continue to. It's one thing for them to take money away from people and to use it. For people who are, it's one thing to have a safety net. It's another thing to bilk that system into a whole social class. And then it's a whole other thing to allow it to just become this fraud agency that just pumps money, $1 million a day coming out of Minneapolis going to Somalia. $1 million a day. That's on record. They claimed it going out of the airport. Now, I've flown in and out of Minneapolis several times. I have to wonder how many suitcases were on board with all that money. It just blows my mind. And it's not just Somalis. It's not just that they're brown or black. That's not what this is about. It's about fraud. If there are Irish people here doing the same thing, then they should be, whoever they are. I don't care whether they're Irish or black or brown or pink or purple. I don't care. If they are criminals and doing this kind of thing, and if it's part of their culture, then yeah, it's time to, and especially if they're here illegally. And even if they are here legally, it may be time to unpatriate them. That can be done. If you've been brought here and you've done some things that are illegal, and it's just to the point where you haven't committed to the country, if you're still operating as a seditious individual, then you need to be gone. Get you out of here. We'll see you. It's just, I'm sorry. It's the way it works. You're invited into someone's home. And all you do is spit in their face and tell them how bad they are and tell them how, you know, and take their money and take everything you're getting and take it out of the house. Guess what? You're going to get kicked out. It's just the way it works. You know not what manner of spirit you are of. These people are antithetical to the Christian movement, the Christian faith, my opinion. It's just my opinion. Their philosophy, their ideology is not in line with Scripture, in my opinion. And we can have that discussion, but it's not going to be one where you just come into my house and start shouting at me. You'll find out real quick about some other rights that I have. All right, they have Greenland. We're going to buy Greenland. Maybe another territory. There's a lot of things about Greenland that people don't understand. It's strategically why it's important for us, and it's interesting that Trump recognized it. Venezuela is another one. Venezuela is actually a very strategic area as well, and that's why the Soviets, the Russians, the communists were trying to take over. China and Russia both were competing to take over Venezuela. They see this strategically. It is strategically located in a place where they can, you know, if they get a foothold there with missiles or whatever it is, they can start pushing that. Now, the other thing is Greenland is the same way. It's in the same particular place where the Iron Dome, if you want to call it that, or the defensive situation, it is a perfect location. And it is in the Western Hemisphere. But it is a strategic place. That and along with also the resources that are there are very important. But that's a whole other thing. Militarily, it is an extremely strategic area to have in order to defend the Western Hemisphere. Now, you can have all the defense you want and still let people come across the border in droves, and then you still got a problem because they can invade without guns. They just walk in. You don't have to have guns to cross your border. They just walk in. Next thing you know, they're holding public office and taking over, and Sharia law is here. You never know. Whatever it is, the mentality or the ideology is here. They implant themselves into the legal system. They implant themselves into the educational system. And they just take over. And this is part of there's a name for it in Islam, where they come in and they take over the culture. They have lots of kids, and there's a name for it. I don't know what it's called. They see it as a generational thing where eventually they just take over. They just populate the place. It's part of their calling. Of course, now there's this idea that the Christian faith is now the white man's faith. That's the white man's religion. And the black man's religion is Islam. Or we should be Muslims, because that's our faith. That's the white man's religion. He imposed it on their imperialists, their colonizers. And that's exactly what the Islamists are trying to do. Now, having said all that, this idea that there's the whole thing in Davos now that's happening, Davos, whatever you call it, it's in Switzerland, I believe. My home country, where my ancestors came from, Switzerland. Blankenberg. They were kidnapped and taken over here, sold into indentured servitude. But that's a whole other story. We had, I'm glad to be here, by the way. Glad to be here. There's all kinds of messages being sent behind the scenes to the president, to President Trump, how they want to work out a deal with Greenland. And yet in public, they're saying, oh, this is a bad deal. We can't do this. We can't order this. It's so ridiculous. I don't know what he's trying to do here. And of course, Trump is making some statements about what's happening in Europe and what's happening there. And of course, they're still laughing at him, like they always do. Just like when he said when he was telling them about the oil issues, they're buying oil from, what's the guy's name? Scott, Bessett? Is it Bessett? I think it's Bessett. This guy's a genius. I don't think about his personal life. I've heard there's some things. I don't know what's all going there. But Bessett. I think it's Bessett. Scott Bessett. Bessent. They were asking him about some things about Europe and the economy and all this stuff about different things. And of course, there was another guy that was kind of the main, I think he's the main architect of most of the tariff structure. He's part of that negotiation process. He said they got this aggressive idea of going to be net zero by 2030. And yet they don't even have a company, an industry in their country that builds a battery. So they're going to be beholden to a country, China, who's building all the batteries. They just spooled up the industry to make their little goal of being global warming and zero emissions by 2030. They're not holding the people are buying the batteries from. They're not holding them to any kind of accountability to be net zero by 2030. They're just cutting off their nose in spite of their face. Now, this whole thing, interestingly enough, They want to be zero emissions, and they're just selling themselves out. This continues to happen. Yeah, there's one other thing I wanted to talk about this morning, and I cannot for the life of me, I can't remember what it was. Something to do with the whole leftist agenda thing. What's been happening with the protests and that kind of thing? And it's just the whole thing has really bothered me. Now, there was one other thing internationally that I was going to talk about, international politics and things that were going on. And I'll have more. Tomorrow morning will be a regular show. I'm trying to work on some things. I might even have it done by tomorrow. I was really hoping to have it done this week. Things were really moving along rather rapidly this last week, I was only able to do so much with my laptop. I'm trying to create a format and some things with the show that's going to really change things, and I'm hoping that I think everyone's going to enjoy it. I think it's going to make the dynamic of the show much greater. And of course, now there's once that happens, I will probably work on some kind of SEO. Search engine optimization, really, really kind of try to get the show out there, because my goal is by the time I retire, I would like for the show to be something that's actually a viable potentially viable income. Now, this particular show will not be that necessarily, but there's another podcast I would like to do that actually will be monetized and make money. It's more about a particular subject. Now, some of you know, I do voiceover work. I actually do, you know, I used to do trailers. I used to do for several seasons, I did the trailer for, I was the main announcer, the anchor guy for LA's Finest, which is the show. It was a show, Jessica Alba, Danielle Gabriel. They play these detectives. It was kind of a tongue-in-cheek show. It was kind of a fun detective show kind of thing. They kind of tried to be halfway serious, but it wasn't really that serious. It was more of an entertainment show. But it was every week I would you'd hear me do the little episode thing for that, whatever the episode was for that particular season. It might be this week on LA's Finest. And it was always, you know, the kind of thing where they would, I'm not doing the best impression of it now, but it was only on Spectrum and only on demand. I would do that kind of thing. And then, and every week they would call me with a little 15-second splurt like that to put out there. And it was kind of a fun thing to do. I also do voiceover work for some medical stuff that I do. I do some national advertising, some things like that. So I do that kind of thing. But the big thing I'm starting to do is starting to work on it now is coaching. And that's, the whole AI business, the whole AI thing is starting to take over some of the content creation, some of the things that voiceover artists used to do. However, there is still no replacement for a real voiceal, because of that, for things like that. Because I can just make up new words and a computer won't do that. So I have a whole thing going through an online course I'm working on, as well as training and teaching and coaching, the whole background thing that's going on there. Now, you wouldn't know it because I have in the background right now, I have a whole water softener thing running behind me and I don't have the door closed on my little booth here. So it's going to be, that's the other thing. If I get my other booth, I do have a sound booth that I'm planning on moving into the house. It's outside right now. It's in a sheltered area. It needs to be moved in, which will completely eliminate those kinds of things, as well as make it nice and warm. Of course, in the summertime, it'll be a little bit more difficult. But in this wintertime, it's nice and warm in that thing. Just the computer alone will heat up the booth. It is a completely soundproof, pretty much soundproof place. Very small, but it will work very well. Sound quality will increase immensely. It will be even better than the National Headquarters studio over there. But it will pick up every little... Probably hear my heartbeat if I don't talk in place. It would be that clear. So anyway, the point being, in the midst of all this stuff that's going on, this whole thing with Trump and the world leaders, there's a very good possibility that they may be able to work out a deal. I know what it was. I remember now what it was that I was going to talk about. All these people are saying, well, every place over in Europe, every place else in the world, they have free healthcare. They have free healthcare everywhere else. So they're all over in Europe. They have, like, in the Netherlands and in Denmark, they have free healthcare. We should have it here in the most, prosperous nation in the world. We should have, we don't have healthcare. There's a million of us and billion of us. Well, the billion of us. Because now I'm a millionaire, so I'm not going to talk about the billionaires. Got to pay that fresh air. No, Bernie. No to all of you Bernie people out there. The reason that Europe is able to afford this wonderful healthcare system that they supposedly have, which is not as wonderful as they say it is, but the reason that they can afford it is because we subsidize it. Oh, how do we do that? We don't subsidize their health care. We don't subsidize anything over there. What are you talking about? If they had to pay to defend themselves, and if you don't think that Putin would like to go back to the Soviet Union days and encroach upon everything in Europe, as he's doing in Ukraine, if you don't think he would want to do it, if you don't think that would happen, the only reason it has not happened is because the U.S. has poured all kinds of money into being the world's police force and protecting Europe. It's not just, we don't just necessarily send them money, but we provide them with all kinds of armament. Their military industrial complex does not exist in Europe. They build a few fighter jets. Dassault builds some things. There's very little over there that they create themselves on a mass scale that is actually protecting their nations. We provide the covering for that. If we were not doing that, and of course, that's the whole thing about Trump, the way he's been pushing back on the NATO countries and the other countries over in the Brexit, the European Union. The reason they're able to do what they do is because they don't have to, because we're subsidizing the whole thing by paying for their defense. If they had to pay for their own defense, if they had to actually do all that, they would not be able to afford this. They would be paying 100% taxes for doing what they're doing. We are subsidizing it in absentia by proxy, by supporting and paying for other things. We're not directly paying for their health care. We're directly paying for their defense, which they don't have to pay for, so now they have the money to do other things. They're still being taxed ridiculous amounts of money. Their income, taxation over there is more over 50% in many of these countries that are so wonderful. Think about that. Half of your paycheck, over half of your paycheck gone before you even see it. Think about that. What's it doing to the economy? It's like it doesn't exist. It's like they take it before you, well, you don't deserve this money. Since you went out and made this money, you went out and worked hard and you made all this money. We're going to take half of that. It's all a shell game. It's all a bunch of fiat currency craziness. It's just nuts. Of course, inflation is just the taxes. You know, in fact, Milton Friedman, tomorrow I'm going to have a whole Financial Friday. I'm really looking forward to it because I'm going to put together all this stuff from Milton Friedman and some of the things he said. Half the time is going to be talking about, we're probably going to have a little bit longer show. It'll probably be more than an hour tomorrow because I'm going to cut it short today, tomorrow will be more than an hour just because the whole thing with Milton Friedman and a lot of the other things that are going on. I have some other, I do want to talk about this church thing and a little bit more about that. And so I have some audio clips from some of that. I just want to make some comments about some of those things. But if you have an opinion about my opinion, I'd love to hear about it. Because I want to know what you think about what I think. And you can call 812-379-8778. Let me know. You can send a text, or you can call, whatever you want to do. And if you don't have an international calling plan and you're calling from Finland or wherever you're calling from, you can go to google.com/voice and punch that number in there and make a phone call or leave a message, whatever you want to do. If you're speaking a different language, I can try to get it translated and we'll try to figure that out. Yeah, I can do some pretty cool things, but it's just the synthetic intelligence world that we live in. Anyway, that's all I got to say today. I guess that's all I got to say about that. In the meantime, give me a call. Let me know what you think. It is Thursday. Tomorrow's Financial Friday, and we'll talk about some financial things, just some general things in general, the economy, as well as the whole Milton Friedman thing and some of his wisdom from the ages. I have some of those clips that we will go through. For some reason, that's why. Not hearing. Oh, there it is. I wasn't hearing the music for some reason. It played before, I thought, did it? Didn't it play before? I thought it played before. I hope it did. The intro. Maybe it didn't. I don't know. In the meantime, folks, have a great rest of your day, rest of your week. Week's almost over. Month is almost over. And so the year is almost over. 2026 is going to fly by. I have a feeling it's going to be quicker than we think. It's the next big outrage from the left. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day, rest of your week. I will see you tomorrow morning. See ya.